Just a month ago, trying to find some dumbbells or other home fitness gear would have been quite a challenge. Stores saw record sales, online retailers ran out of stock, and one Georgia iron company began mass-producing kettlebells just to respond to demand. Since then, some gyms and studios have reopened, but not everyone is planning to return. The future of the fitness industry could look different as people spend their money on home gym setups or find out that doing push-ups is cheaper and maybe just as satisfying. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you were a regular gym goer prior to the quarantine, what was it like for you to adjust your routine? Did you find other ways to work out at home? Did you exercise outside? Has time away from your gym or classes made you think differently about your routine? Or are you looking forward to going full on back at the gym? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Natalia Petrozella is a historian of contemporary American politics and culture and an associate professor of history at the New School. She's a journalist and author with a forthcoming book on American fitness culture called Fit Nation, How America Embraced Exercise as the Government Abandoned It. Natalia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
You've tracked changes over American history when it comes to how we exercise. This COVID-19 moment in our fitness, this is a big deal, right? This is a big change.
Yeah, I think it is a really big change for a lot of reasons. And one of the seismic shifts, I know for me who studies this and a lot of gym goers too, was that we so often think about going to the gym as one of the best health promoting activities that we can undertake. But then all of a sudden COVID happened and the gym became one of the worst places to be if you really cared about public health. So I think that was one like big overarching shift that's changing our ideas about exercise that I think will be with us for a while.
This isn't the first time in our history, I've seen you write elsewhere, that we've turned our attention to home fitness. Can you tell us a little bit about big moments for working out at home in our recent history?
Yeah, well, it depends what you think of as recent, but you know, at least two big moments had more to do with technology than public health. And one was the proliferation of television sets for Americans. So in the 1950s, as you know, the growth in who had TVs was exponential. You had the rise of television fitness shows like Jack LaLanne, Debbie Drake, some listeners will remember. And then the next sort of big hit with that was VHS in the 1980s. And Jane Fonda really paved the way there. But, you know, it wasn't just Jane Fonda, and as VCRs became less expensive, people were buying up workout VHSs to do at home. So I think those are two really big moments that have different drivers than the one that we're seeing now in terms of people exercising at home.
What led to this big predominance, again, pre-COVID-19, of gyms and fitness centers? It seems like those became the definition of working out. Staying at home and doing it just didn't seem quite right anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to underplay how popular things like Peloton and Mirror and YouTube, Daily Burn, those have been growing for a long time since our streaming technologies have gotten better and better. But at the same time, you know, people have seen fitness studios and gyms as really sites of community and places that, yes, they're going to sweat and burn calories and do something physical, but that they're getting something more than the physical out of it. And, you know, about, I don't know, now 20 years ago, people were talking about bowling alone and the decline of kind of bowling leagues as civic spaces for Americans. I would say that one important site that has come up in its stead is the gym or the studio. And you hear people talking about, you know, my tribe, my community, my posse, et cetera, associated with the people they do like stationary cycling classes with. And I think that's really important. And people are thinking about that as, you know, technology makes it relatively feasible to do a lot of the physical work at home if you have the space. But people are realizing, wow, I really miss seeing people and, you know, either competing with them or finding camaraderie with them or sometimes both.
Natalia Petrozella is with us from the New School. She has a forthcoming book called Fit Nation, How America Embraced Exercise as the Government Abandoned It. We're talking to her about how fitness is changing amid the COVID-19 outbreak and what it could look like in the future. Natalia, what have you seen people really turning to in this time? What are some of the things you would highlight as super big trends since this all started?
Yeah, well, I would say you both see really big trends on the very high end, things like Mirror, which just got acquired by Lululemon in a, you know, a big acquisition, and also Peloton, which is probably like the highest end of this. But then at the same time, you've seen this boom in often free workouts on Instagram Live and on YouTube. And so I think that's really interesting to see that home fitness has really seen a huge expansion across all price points. And so I think that's important to think about in terms of access. Often we can think about home fitness as being something that's purely a luxury. There was a big boom in the construction of home gyms in the early 90s, and it was like the ultimate status symbol to have the space and the money to build your own private gym. But now, as technology has made certain forms of home exercise, you know, much cheaper, if not free, you see working out at home both being something that anyone can do, even if they can't afford a gym, but also which people are doing to show status in a different way, buying that new, very expensive gadget with a subscription service.
I've seen some people, this is just anecdotal now, some people saying, hey, wait a minute, when I work out at home, nobody can see me. And for some of those people, that's a positive. They don't have to worry about what they look like when they exercise. How big a factor is that?
Yeah, that's always been a big positive for exercise at home, especially as, you know, I do think it's changing, but a lot of people who aren't, you know, yet exercising a lot or who might be insecure about what they look like have felt that, you know, I want to exercise and be healthy and fit, but I feel like you need to look like you're already fit to walk into a gym. And so they feel like it's a sort of catch 22. And so home exercise actually provides this very liberating opportunity to exercise without not under the watchful gaze of other people who might be kind of checking you out and, you know, whether you think it's real or not, possibly judging you.
On the other hand, and I think some people go into the gym with this attitude of, hey, I'm going to go to the gym and I know I don't look great and that's okay. And maybe that's a boost for the rest of our lives that we don't care what other people are seeing. We're just out there and we're going to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of the sentiment that, again, depends on the person, depends on the gym, but there are definitely fitness communities where people kind of show up like, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. And it's actually not about even, I want to look a different way. It's about being here and feeling good and doing what I can do and, you know, screw it. And I think that's like much more positive than, you know, I have to look a particular way or I might look this way today, but I'm working to be thinner or to look more conventionally fit. I think that's something we should push back on.
This is an unanswerable question at this point. The question of, are people going to go back to the gym? What kind of questions do you have? What kind of things are you looking at to see how we are going to answer that as a society and I guess individually too?
Yeah, you know, of course, in terms of data, it's unanswerable right now. But I do think it's really interesting as people are thinking about, you know, the kind of risk benefit analysis and that what are the things about going to the physical gym that I value so much that are not accessible in a home experience that I would take a public health risk to go back for. And I see those at least, and again, this is anecdotal at this point, falling into at least two buckets. One is very practical. It's about really equipment. Like, you know, very few people have room for like a squat rack and multiple cardio machines. And they want that equipment that they can't get in a, you know, in at home. But on the other hand, there's something much less tangible, which is the community aspect and both, you know, kind of competing with other people, seeing other people, showing off, like just being around other people as a space that is like a church or a synagogue or a school or a public square, any of those places where we go to formally or informally connect to other people. And so I think that depending on how much you yearn for that, either the equipment or that more slippery experience of being around other people, that will be something that determines people's decisions. The other piece, I think, is also how comfortable gyms are going to be, or how comfortable gyms will make people that they're taking necessary precautions, right? Are gyms cleaning all the time? Are they saying, you know, we're having the attendance in classes? Are they putting up those dividers between the cardio machines? Are they offering or requiring gloves, masks? I think all of that is probably really going to shape people's decisions as well.
One more trend that I've seen anecdotally reported again, Natalia, that I wanted to ask about before we let you go is It seems like a lot more people are getting outside and embracing that relatively COVID safe environment of getting in the outdoors.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that on the one hand, yes, you're right. We are seeing more and more people taking up running and cycling and hiking and all of these sort of, you know, very non-technological old school ways of being active. And that's great. And I think it's interesting to see that happen at the same time that we're also seeing the rise of the highest tech fitness really taking off. So, you know, I'm hoping that that will continue because I think that that's really great. And it tends to be free also. I'm hoping that that will also bring our attention to the different accesses to public space that people have in different neighborhoods. You know, I live in New York City in, you know, more expensive neighborhoods. They're beautifully safe, manicured running trails by the river. That is much less the case if you go to neighborhoods with fewer resources. And I'm hoping that this new embrace of like outdoor exercise hopefully will put some urgency behind, you know, having some equity around access to those kinds of spaces.
Natalia, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Natalia Petrozella is a historian of contemporary American politics and culture and an associate professor of history at the New School. She's also a journalist and author. Her forthcoming book on American fitness culture is called Fit Nation.